Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and so far on the show today, we've been talking about some fearless women creating space for themselves in the world of hip-hop. Well, Alisa Weilerstein works in a very different realm, but as a cellist, she knows all about commanding an audience. She made her Cleveland Orchestra debut at age 13, performed at Carnegie Hall at 15. Now 28, the big moments keep on coming. On Tuesday, she'll make her debut with the famed Berlin Philharmonic. A week later, she'll debut with the LA Phil. And if that wasn't enough for one season, this past November, she played at the White House for President and Mrs. Obama. Today, Alisa Weilerstein joins us in the slightly more humble surroundings of the Soundcheck studio for a live performance. Alisa, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So, you know, we were talking earlier about women's role in rap music. This used to be a huge problem in classical music as well. You'd look at orchestras and it would be all dudes.
All men.
How has classical music sort of broken that logjam?
If you're talking just purely in terms of cellists, I think Jacqueline Dupre actually changed a lot of that. But there was also Zara Nosova. There was, and even, you know, at the turn of the century, there was Sujia.
So there were role models.
Yes. Yeah. There were definite role models for that. And but still, I mean, like, even if you look at certain European orchestras, like the Berlin Philharmonic, as you said, I mean, didn't admit women until, I think, 15 years ago, something like this.
And Vienna, and it was a huge...
And it was a huge deal. And people... It was a very controversial thing. And Vienna, even more recently, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and there's still very few women in the Philharmonic, so... Yeah.
But in terms of soloists, cellists, pianists, violinists, women seem to be very well represented.
Yeah, it's much more integrated now. So it's not as much of an issue, I think, as it used to be.
So,
thank goodness so.
It seems like, you know, it always seems to be this way. Mm-hmm. It comes down to visibility. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Jacqueline Dupre, who was a very wonderful, ill-starred, but very telegenic performer and, mm-hmm. you know, got a fair amount of international publicity. What about you? I mean, you're doing a lot of the things you're doing now are mm-hmm. telecast, they're webcast.
Yes.
How important is that? Not for just for you as a woman, but for you as a classical musician, bringing classical music to a generation that doesn't get a lot of it.
Well, I think it's just as you said. I mean, to bring it to the younger generation, I mean, there's such an emphasis on video now. And what's interesting, actually, about what you say is, I mean, back in the 60s, when Jacqueline Dupre was, you know, in her prime, it was much, much more common to have classical music on television. And now it's, especially in this country, it's so rare.
Mm-hmm.
And so it actually seems like a novelty, like what the Berlin Philharmonic is doing, like broadcasting something, you know, live on the web where you actually see video and everything. And the other thing, which is very nice about this concert, is I'm also doing the European concert with the Berlin Philharmonic on May 1st, which will be televised worldwide, mm-hmm. Live in Europe, and then we'll hopefully broadcast later in this country. And that's such a huge deal. It wouldn't have been such a huge deal, you know, 40 years ago, which is very interesting.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching like episodes of The Odd Couple on TV and seeing Martina Arroyo singing.
Yes,
and, you know,
absolutely.
It's like,
just
at Johnny Carson, it was common to see opera singers, and
it's not anymore.
No.
I mean, sometimes you might see, you know, PBS, the Great Performances Series. You know, you might see like the opening of the New York Philharmonic occasionally, but other than that, not really. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to find arts channels. So.
Well, so webcasting and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's a great, great thing. I really do.
For a generation that is so media savvy and media driven, you fish where the fish are. And
absolutely. But I mean, my 99-year-old grandfather is going to watch me live from California on Tuesday. I mean, the fact that it's also reaching that generation.
Right.
So, I mean, he has a computer and he's, you know, he's very lucid and, you know, he's brilliant.
He said he's 99.
He's 99, yeah. And he's going to watch me on the web, which I think is hilarious and great.
All right. I was going to ask if you had any misgivings about this use of technology, but I'm guessing you don't.
No, I don't. Absolutely not. I think it's something that should be integrated into it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be playing this concert with the Berlin Philharmonic on Tuesday, and that mm-hmm. will be, I guess it's a live webcast.
That people is a live can, webcast, yes.
People can watch it from anywhere.
Anywhere. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere you've got an internet connection.
And you mentioned the great Jacqueline Dupre. You mm-hmm. will be playing the piece that is considered by many to be her piece.
Yes.
This is the Elgar Cello Concerto. Mm-hmm. And the conductor,
Daniel Barenboim,
her former husband.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you spoken to him? Is there any...
I've worked a lot with him, actually.
I mean about you playing her piece with him?
Let me answer this a different way. We met about a year and a half ago, and I played Dvorak for him, just sort of like an audition type of thing, and he said at that time that he was, you know, he wanted to spend more time with me, just like to teach me, to give me lessons and things like that. So he said, you know, please come see me the next time you're in Europe. And we met in Milan, where he was at La Scala, and you know, I had a 3-hour lesson on the Dvorak Concerto, and then he said, you know, I want to see you more. I want to spend more time with you. And so, and he was here in New York in May. He was doing all the Mahler symphonies and the mm-hmm. Carter Project, and you know, all of this crazy repertoire. That was when I finally got the courage to play the Elgar Concerto for him, and that was when he asked me to do this concert. So, the European concert will be in Oxford. This is where Jacqueline Dupré was born, mm-hmm. actually. So that's, you know, it's a heavy thing.
So you were aware of all of the history of the
piece and stuff. Oh my God! I saw every single documentary on Jacqueline Dupré. Every single, if there was footage of her, I've seen it. I mean, I grew up with those recordings. I was obsessed with her when I was a kid.
So you met Latere on her way out of the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
What Queen Latifah was for Latere sounds
absolutely.
Like Jacqueline,
yes, Jacqueline Dupré
was
my idol. She was my favorite cellist. And she wasn't the only cellist I listened to, but she was the one that I really identified with the most and loved. And I devoured every bit of material in her. I actually had to force myself to stop listening to her when I was about 12 or something, just because... All of her interpretations are just so convincing and all encompassing. I thought, well, I'm not going to develop my own voice if I keep listening to her, so I have to put her away just for a little while. So, she remains my favorite cellist.
We're speaking with the cellist Elisa Weilerstein, who is performing 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. next Tuesday with the Berlin Philharmonic, the Elgar Cello Concerto with Daniel Barenboim, and there will be there's a link to the webcast when it happens at wnyc.org/soundcheck. You're going to play some Bach for us from the third of the suites for unaccompanied cello.
Yes.
Let's hear the prelude.
Okay, wonderful.
Elisa Weilerstein playing the opening movement, the prelude, from the cello suite number 3 in C major. It's music by Bach. Live in the Soundcheck studio. Thank you. Alisa Weilerstein, live in the Sound Check studio, and the opening prelude from the Bach Cello Suite No. 3 in C major. Alisa recently played all six of the cello suites at Columbia University, just earlier this week, in fact. And Alisa, in November, you were part of this very high-profile event at the White House,
yes,
playing for Barack and Michelle Obama. That was also webcast.
It was webcast, yes. And it's still on YouTube, actually.
So for you, how significant an event was that?
Oh, it was huge, actually. Well, first of all, I mean, to meet the Obamas, to meet our president, who is, I mean, we all know how charismatic he is, but mm-hmm. I mean, in person, he's just everything you see on television times 1,000. It just knocks you over. It's
he's supposed to be a Yo-Yo Ma fan, too. Did you get a chance to talk music with him at all?
Well, not so much, but it was just such a fantastic and positive feeling in the air. It was just a very, very special atmosphere. And I actually got the feeling that Michelle Obama actually knows quite a lot about classical music, more than he does, mm-hmm. actually. that was my perception anyway. I could be completely wrong, but it was that was my perception. He actually gave a very funny speech right before he went on about JFK and how when he had concerts at the White House, he used to have someone at the door that would tell him when to clap. And then he said, well, fortunately for me, I have Michelle next to me to tell me what to do, but the rest of you are on your own. So it was very special.
And what did you play for them?
Well, it was interesting. We did a workshop for young children in the afternoon. That was just for the First Lady and several guests and many kids from different schools around the country. So I played Oswaldo Golijov's Omar Amor. I also played with a wonderful young cellist who's 8 years old, actually. Her name is Sujari Britt. And we did Boccherini C major duo. Mm-hmm. And she's an incredibly gifted person. I've gotten to know her a little bit, too. And she comes to everything I do in New York, which is really
and
lovely.
She's 8 years old.
And she's an amazing cellist. She plays Saint-Saëns concerto perfectly, and, you know, she's unbelievable. And but then in the evening concert, I played Kodai solo sonata, third movement. I also played with Sujari and a wonderful 16-year-old marimba player named Jason Yoder. We played the Swan together. And then I played with Joshua Bell and Abhidhajan Pratt, the Mendelssohn D minor trio, last moment.
I mean, in terms of sort of A-list classical talent,
yes,
yourself, Joshua Bell, yeah, Abhidhajan Pratt, the guitarist, Sharon
Isbin. Yes, of
course. So it was a nice lineup, and it's I guess it was meant not so much for the converted, but this was one of those events that really was meant for a larger kind of a general audience.
Yes, but I didn't feel in any way that we were talking down to. I mean, that was not the idea at all. This was just music that, you know, really spoke to us, and, you know, we were able, and because there were four people and, you know, a lot of things to get in, that's why we did, you know, small movements, because it was a short concert,
right.
You know, and so we were able to showcase lots of different facets of classical music and, you know, and of what we do as artists, you know.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you're making your debut with the Los Angeles Phil just 2 weeks from now.
Or less, something.
Something like that. A week from Tuesday, or a week after the Berlin
debut.
Yeah. You actually have worked with their conductor,
yes,
Gustavo Dudamel.
Yes, I have.
You went touring through Venezuela.
Yeah.
With the Simon Bolivar Youth Orchestra.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Now, what is it like to be in a country where there is this massive system of kind of like, it's like the minor leagues in baseball, where kids are just playing classical music?
It's the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen in terms of classical music. I feel in a way that there's no more important work being done in the world in terms of classical music. Actually, even in terms of social change, than what's being done there with the system. I mean, it started off, founded by José Antonio Abreu, who was an economist and also a wonderful musician and conductor, in 1975. Started with 10 kids. Mm-hmm. Now there are 400,000 kids involved all over the country. There are
400,000 kids. And when they call it El Sistema, I mean, it really is a very systematic.
Absolutely. It's just amazing. And
when you get to the top load, that top orchestra and that top chorus, you're talking world class talent.
You must have heard that orchestra when they came to New York. I hope, anyway. It, mm-hmm. And if you haven't, it's something that needs to be seen to be believed, heard to be believed, I should say.
Alisa Weilerstein is with us on Soundcheck today. Mm-hmm. Let's hear another part of that same suite.
Yes, I'd like to play the jig. This is the last movement, so the first and the last.
From the Bach Suite No. 3 for unaccompanied cello in C major, as Alisa says, the Gigue is the final movement. She played the opening prelude for us a few minutes ago. Here's another live performance in the Soundcheck studio. Once again, Elisa Weilerstein live in the Soundcheck studio and music of Bach, this time the concluding Gieg from that cello suite number 3 in C major. Elisa, your mother is the pianist Vivian Hornick Weilerstein, your dad the violinist Donald Weilerstein. Was there any ever chance of you not being a musician?
Absolutely. But not because of me. I kind of forced my parents into letting me be a musician. I was a very persistent 4-year-old. I begged my mom for a real cello because I had a cereal box instrument that my grandmother made for me when I was 2.5, which I loved to play very dearly. And
onto the grown-up cello,
yes,
and occasionally even still playing with mom and dad is in this recording in the background from the Weilerstein Trio. Elisa, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you very much.
Berlin Philharmonic live webcast, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. There's a link on the Soundcheck page, and that'll do it for the show today. On our next program, when you we come to you live from the green space down on street level, with the New York band The National sharing their brand new album with a set of live performances. And the DJ Rob Swift mixes the sound of turntables with Mussorgsky and other classics. He'll play live as well. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today, George Wellington. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau.